Lecture 35, The Democracies in Crisis.
As we've seen, the interwar years would witness the birth of states based on both Marxist socialism in the Soviet Union and in Italy after 1922, fascism, an attack on both Marxist socialism and liberal democracy. Indeed, the interwar years would find the traditional liberal democracies, France, England, and a new democracy added to this list, that of Weimar Germany, under siege from extremes of both the left and the right, in an age that would increasingly be dominated by ideological confrontation between the extremes, between the communists on the one hand, the fascists on the other. The liberal democracies would struggle to find solutions to the mounting problems of inflation, harsh stabilization, and the Great Depression of the interwar years. In this lecture, we're going to focus on the dilemmas facing England, France, and this new German democracy, the Weimar Republic, in the interwar years, the ways they sought to address the serious economic problems that would bedevil them, and the emergence of extremist politics everywhere on the continent. While fascism and Soviet communism seemed to offer solutions, ideological certainty, in dealing with the post-war economic and social problems, the Western democracies in this period seemed to stagger from crisis to crisis. Although France and Britain had emerged from the First World War as victor states, they were certainly not immune to the economic strains, the social dislocations, and ultimately the political confrontations of this era. In the wake of the Great War, Britain in particular faced great economic readjustment. Long-term economic pressures from mounting industrial competition were now exacerbated. Britain entered the First World War as a dominant state in both industry and in trade. It would emerge from the First World War as a debtor nation. Its strong position, dominant position in international trade, its very strong position in industrial production, now increasingly challenged, and in fact, that dominant position had been lost as a result of the great strains of the First War. During the interwar years, then, Britain confronted chronic problems with unemployment. In fact, between 1919 and the outbreak of war in 1939, unemployment in Britain never fell below 10%. So it was chronic unemployment. It was structural unemployment that would be exacerbated by the economic trends of the post-war era. Certainly, successive British governments took steps toward remedying this situation. Britain in the 1920s would take major strides toward establishing what would really be a welfare state, dealing with labor problems, dealing with unemployment compensation, dealing with health issues. But the problems for Britain persisted. These problems would come to a head, to a climax, in the labor disputes in the coal mining industry in 1926. Coal was one of the commodities, one of the economic sectors that was hard hit in the post-war era by the turn toward alternative sources of energy and toward overproduction as a result of the mobilization for the First World War, so that coal mining on the continent and in England was an economic sector in distress throughout the interwar years and certainly in the immediate post-war years. In 1926, coal miners in Britain went out on strike. That strike turned into a general strike as sympathy strikes occurred, as workers from other economic sectors joined with the coal miners in a strike that threatened to cripple the British economy. The government declared a state of emergency and took strong anti-union measures to break the strike, and in 1927, in the so-called Trades Dispute Act, outlawed this phenomenon of sympathy strikes, making it illegal for workers to engage in work stoppages out of sympathy for strikers in another economic sector.